This is James, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5 West Liberty. On today's program of Passionately Vocal, we have a special guest joining us today. He is a former West Liberty University basketball alumni, played professionally overseas in the Swedish Basketball League, and also is a Wheeling native who attended Wheeling Central's Catholic High School. Let us welcome Chase Harler. Hello, Chase. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Woke up pretty early. Got a lift in, so I'm up and early.
There you go. Good for you, man.
I appreciate it. So I have a quick question, a couple questions for you. And how different was it playing overseas compared to the Coliseum in Morgantown?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different game. I would always say that Big 12 and the games I played in the Coliseum, for the most part, I'm probably more athletic. However, the European game is a lot more, the basketball IQ is a little bit higher, right? Because the guys aren't as athletic, so they can't rely on that as much. So a lot of it is you got to think your way through some situations and throughout the game. And I've always felt like that's been a strong suit of my game, and that's why I felt like in my 3 years of overseas basketball, I was somewhat successful because just fit my game a little bit better.
So playing with Morgantown, like at Morgantown, it really helped you being able to play professionally.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The conditioning aspect, the lifting aspect, the work, just developing that work ethic playing for, Coach Huggins and the Mountaineers. You had a job every day, and that job wasn't to make shots or to, make the right play at all times. Like your job was to play hard. So doing that for 4 years definitely gave me an edge, when I did get to Europe.
So you definitely say like the environment's differed from playing overseas professionally to the college level.
Yeah, it's much different. If you think about it, I guess now it's a little bit different with college athletics, but even 3 years ago, your teammates are, in between the ages of, you can say 18 to 22-ish. And you usually see each other every day and you hang out a lot more off the court because, it's college. And when you get to the professional level, you have teammates that are, 28, 30, 32, 40, they have wife and kids. And, it seems like you only see them when you're at the gym. So I would say like the personal relationship aspect of it is a little bit different.
Gotcha. And how difficult was it like with the language barrier, like playing professionally overseas?
Yeah. I mean, that's always the challenge. My 3 years I played in Lithuania, which the language barrier was very difficult outside of the gym. I was the only American on my team. However, my teammates spoke, pretty good English, and my coach spoke English. And, I always tell people with the language barrier, you lack like the sarcasm and the jokes, right? Where, I might crack a joke, which, if I'm back home with my buddies, like everyone's laughing, but the language barrier causes a little bit of an issue, right there. So like I said, I played in Lithuania, language barrier was tough. In Sweden, everyone spoke English, so that wasn't an issue. It's pretty much like the second 1A language, or 1B language, I'm sorry. And then in Hungary, a little bit the same Lithuania, just depending on what part of town you're in, what, what age, how old the person was. Usually younger people spoke English a little bit better, so after like 2 or 3 weeks, you kind of just get used to it.
Gotcha. So like if you were to ever leave like the air arena or anywhere and you just wanted to go out for like dinner or just go shopping, how difficult was that? Or did you always have to have like someone with you that had to like translate or?
No, I mean, like I said, I got used to it. There's a lot of pointing, a lot of hand motions, but, just because they can't speak full sentences of English, they can pick up on a couple words. So like I mentioned before, a lot of pointing, a lot of, Google Translate on my phone. And, I can read the room pretty well. If I wasn't getting anywhere, I wouldn't try to force the conversation and make them feel uncomfortable as well.
Gotcha. That's pretty smart. What do you think your favorite moment was playing over the years with basketball?
Wow. I mean, probably from each chapter of basketball, I would say, in high school was winning the state championship my sophomore year. And then, in college, you know, my personal favorite moment that I felt like I had a true impact on the game and it was a good game was when we beat Ohio State my senior year. Ohio State was number two in the country. We were, I want to say we were like 22nd or 21st. We played in Cleveland and Quicken Loans. And, you know, we won that game. It was probably one of my, probably the best game of my college career. Like I said, just felt like I had an impact throughout the entire game. And then, yeah, in my professional career, and probably this past season in Hungary, you know, you have your end of the season championship. And then throughout the year, you have something called the Cup. It's pretty much like an in-season tournament. It just goes throughout almost the whole season. And, you know, my team won the Cup championship. So that was a pretty cool moment.
Gotcha. And I also heard that there's a story where you proposed for one of your games at the college level.
Yeah. It was my wife now, Lindsay. You know, we've been together since halfway through eighth grade, went to Central together. She decided to go to WVU. She's in vet school at Ohio State right now. But yeah, I did on my senior day, my last collegiate game ever, because that was March 7th, I believe. And, you know, 3 or 4 days later, COVID struck and, you know, they shut down everything.
Gotcha. How nervous were you for that game? Like, on top of that, you proposing, but on top of that, you had to play the game afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, we were playing against number four Baylor, and, you know, I had the plan in my mind for a while. So, you know, obviously I pick up the ring on Wednesday. We were playing on the Saturday. I pick up the ring on Wednesday, you know, ask for the blessing from her parents. And then Thursday I was even more nervous because I had to go into Coach Huggins' office and ask him for permission. So I didn't want it to come across like, you know, it's all about me. It's a distraction. Cause like I just mentioned, we're playing against number four Baylor at home, but I mean, I'm pretty sure if I can remember correctly, it was like a 40-second conversation. I go in and ask, he's like, oh yeah, absolutely. And, I was more nervous for that than the game. You know, my senior year, I was off and on starting, still played significant minutes, but you know, senior day, they let, you know, they start the seniors. And I think I played the first like 4 minutes, missed my first four shots. And I'm not even sure if I got back in, but I wasn't even at that point. I really wasn't even too worried about the game. I was just, happy she said yes. And then luckily we had Deuce McBride, who's a NBA guard now, pretty much won us that game.
That's pretty fun. So basically you were just on cloud nine the whole time.
Yeah. It would have been a kind of awkward situation if we would have lost, but we won, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. We'll take a short break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the mental aspect of the game compared to the physical side. This is WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio. We are passionately vocal.
Did you know that parking lots rank as the third highest location for crimes? According to TAL Global, there are on average of 2 million crimes occurring annually in garages and parking lots, ranging from kidnappings to theft or even murder. Therefore, it's crucial to be vigilant next time you enter a parking lot or garage. Take the time to assess your surroundings, ensure the area is secure before exiting your vehicle. When returning to your vehicle, avoid walking between cars and continue to stay aware of your environment. Additionally, be mindful not to leave your valuables in plain sight. In 2020, there were 1,760 reported thefts from cars in Lexington, Kentucky, attributed to valuables being left exposed and cars left unlocked. Always remember to lock your vehicle and consider investing in compact containers of pepper spray for personal safety. There are convenient options that attach to your car keys. Every time you park your car, maintain a high level of awareness during both entry and exit. Double check that your car is locked because you never know if you could become the next target.
This message has been brought to you by WGLZ Radio.
Hello and welcome back to WGLZ 91.5 West Liberty. We are joined with Chase Harler, and we are going to talk a little bit about the mental game involving with professional sports and just mental aspect of the life in general. Hello, and so Chase, throughout the years, I always know it's important because I'm a baseball athlete, and it's very, we fail more than we succeed. So what do you do to like focus on your mental game and compared to your physical one?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's, you know, 80% of the battle, in my opinion. You know, I think as I've matured, I've gotten much better at it. At WVU, I really struggled with, you know, the performance anxiety and things that come along with that. Just because you're, you know, you're essentially the professional team for the state, and I'm from West Virginia, so I don't want to, you know, let people down. And I think that's where I struggled the most, where I was micromanaging every little moment and instead of just reacting and playing. So, you know, the mental aspect is huge. The way I felt like I took care of it in a positive way, I kind of just like let go of, or I tried to let go of what others thought about me and their opinion, because at the end of the day, you know, respectfully, they weren't the ones doing 3-hour practices and hour lifts and hour conditionings. And so they have no idea what it's like to do a day-to-day, you know, as a Mountaineer. So, yeah, it was difficult. But, I mean, as I matured, I've definitely gotten better with it.
So, like, from, like, rec ball to high school to college and, like, even professionally, what would be, like, the thing that you pointed out that you said you got better at? For example, like, for me, when I got to college, I realized that it's a completely different ball game since high school. And it was to the point where I had to, like, focus and, like, actually just, like, visualize myself succeeding.
Yeah, I think I know we're talking about, you know, the mental side of the game. So I think, you know, from my high school career of, you know, being very successful in high school and Gatorade Player of the Year 2 times, and then going into WVU, you know, as a freshman, barely playing. And then my sophomore year, you know, starting to play a little bit more, but then finding myself out of the rotation. Like, you know, that's a tough mental hit. And, you know, you don't want to settle. However, you have to be realistic about the situation. So, you know, in order for me to succeed at that level, I had to almost change my psyche about it. I had to change my mindset where, you know, for essentially my whole basketball career up to that point, quote unquote, I was the man of the team and I wasn't going to have that role anymore. And, you know, mentally I had to accept that, and that's okay. Like, you have to have role players and people that are bought into a system, and that's what I tried to do. But, you know, as much as it was a physical change, it was 100% a mental change as well.
Gotcha. And like, for you, I know, like, for me, I also was like a decent player in high school, but like college is a different level. What do you think was like the hardest part mentally? Like, would it have been like an injury, lack of confidence? What would you say like was the hardest thing throughout your career?
Yeah, definitely was the lack of confidence and confidence issues. You know, as I just mentioned, my freshman year at West Virginia, I didn't play a lot, you know, coming off of, you know, Gatorade Player of the Year, and just, you know, things weren't going exactly my way. And, you know, playing for a Hall of Fame intense coach like Bob Huggins, where, you know, I'm not really playing a lot and he's still getting on my case throughout practice and treat me like I'm playing 40 minutes. And, you know, at the time I'm like, this guy's just picking on me. You know what I mean? I took it so personal where, you know, looking back at it, he was just coaching me like he would coach anyone else. And it was hard for me to accept that. And that's where that lack of confidence came in, where, you know, I'm not playing a lot and he's yelling at me. So I, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not very good anymore. And, that took a lot of, you know, reflecting and, you know, a lot of preparation where I was getting in the gym a little bit more to kind of try to boost that confidence level.
So like, his comments really made you work a lot harder. So stuff like Bob Huggins would always get on everyone's case.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I've always had a great work ethic, so it wasn't anything new to me. But, you know, the one thing I definitely learned from Huggs was, like, when you think you're playing hard, you can definitely play harder. Where, you know, in high school, I thought I worked hard, but, you know, when I got to college, I had to step it up to a whole nother level.
Gotcha. And, like, if you were ever, like, down and you were, like, just, like, the bottom of the, like, starting from very bottom, like, you hit rock bottom, what would, like, help you overcome these types of issues? Like, would it be, like, a father figure? Like, for me, I would always talk to my dad. Or was there, like, a support system? How would you help get over those issues?
Yeah, I mean, as an athlete and a competitor, it's never easy to talk about. At the time, I'm much more comfortable at it now, but, you know, it's never easy to talk about your feelings or your kind of what you're going through. But, you know, I could always rely on my wife now, Lindsay, to, you know, get me through those difficult times where, you know, even though I wouldn't talk about it, she knew what I was going through and she knew the right things to say and the right things to do to, you know, try to get my confidence back up and try to get me through that difficult time. So, you know, looking back at it, I wish I would have, you know, opened up a little bit more about kind of the performance anxiety and the things I was just going through and the, you know, the struggles I was having, rather than trying to do it all by myself. you know, looking back, I felt like if I would have maybe just been a little bit more open about it, the problem would have been a little bit resolved faster. And, you know, when you say things out loud, sometimes you realize it's not as big of a deal as it, you know, it might feel internally.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that statement, because I couldn't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with my dad, and like the moment I tell him, it's like, is it really that big of an issue?
Yeah. Yeah, but when you keep it inside the whole time, you're like, you know, you feel like the world's going to end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So you definitely would say like your support system like helped you affected and helped you achieve your goal while you were playing over the years?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, like I just said, I was never good at, you know, talking about what I was going through. It felt like I had to stay tough because I played basketball and I was a competitor. And, you know, luckily my family was pretty good at seeing through that and not really forcing the issue, but, you know, being comforting and saying the right things. And like I mentioned before.
So like, if you were to give like anyone some advice about like overcoming mental issues, what would like the number one thing be, you think?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much what I just said before, where, I mean, you don't have to go proclaim it to the world, but you know, whoever you're comfortable with, you know, I would recommend just, you know, just talking about it. Literally, like what we just said, whatever, you know, we'll just talk about sports related. I mean, the performance anxiety and the things you're worried about with the game or whatnot. You know, once you address the issue, right, you know what the issue is, you know what's bothering you, you know what's causing these issues. When you say it to someone out loud, you know, first of all, it's just going to feel like a weight's been lifted off your shoulder. That's going to be probably over half the battle. And then, you know, once you say it out loud, you can attack it, right? Where you're just keeping it internally, you know, you're almost pushing it down and hiding it. You know, for example, if it's performance anxiety, you know, you talk about why you have performance anxiety, and you can kind of get to the root of the problem. Is it because you feel like you're not prepared? Okay, you're not prepared, so get in the gym more. If it's because, you know, you feel like you're going to mess up in front of everybody, you know, you got to start, you know, caring less about what people think about you. You know what I mean? Like, once you say it out loud, you can address the problem.
All right. Thank you, Chase. I really appreciate you coming on and like telling us a little bit about like the mental aspect and like playing professionally.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. So let's get back to the music here on WGLZ 91.5 West Liberty. We are College Radio. We are passionately vocal.